Good morning. Today's Daf Nedarim Chaf Aleph. We are starting today the new parak, the third parak of the Masechta, in which we're going to be continuing discussing, and you guessed it, Nedarim. But over here in this third parak, so what we're going to be discussing is making a Neder, but it's not a Neder. Okay, so this is a little bit of a contrast to what we've been doing up until this point in time. First parak, second parak of the Masechta, so we talked about making a Neder, and it's going to be a Neder, even though your formulation was not a complete formulation, or it was a corrupted language. So we talked about kinuyim, and we talked about yados, and we talked about hadfasa, and so there are various ways that one can make a neder without full articulation. Okay, so that's the first two parakim, and now we're done with that, so we're going to continue here in the Masechta. You made a full neder. In this parak, we're going to be discussing where the articulation was perfect. It just happens to be that you didn't mean a neder. So over here, the failure in our parak over here is not going to be in the articulation, but rather it's going to be in the intent. The person's intention over here is not to make a neder. Why do you make a neder? Funny you should ask. So the Mishnah over here is going to outline there are four different categories in which his intention clearly was not to make a neder. He was just interested in, well, we'll get to what his interests are, but they were not to make a neder. And so using the contextual clues to teach us that he's not interested in actually making a neder, so therefore it is totally disregarded as a neder. Now, this is where the Masechta, I mean, previously the Masechta was tricky, but this is where the Masechta gets tricky, because now, in terms of formulating an equation, in terms of when it's going to be a neder, so up until now, we talked about the formula regarding the words that you use, and what exactly are going to be the words that are necessary in order to create a neder. Now, in this parak over here, we're talking about the intention that's necessary in order for one to make a neder. So the words over here are not going to be the issue. The intention is going to be the issue in terms of when it's going to be a neder, when it's not going to be a neder. And so let's begin the parak. Arba nedarim hitir chachamim. So there are four nedarim where the chachamim are matir. Matir over here literally means they permitted the nedarim. So now you could understand the Mishnah to mean matir as a form of, you know, you'll go to a chacham and it'll be matir that neder. But as you'll see, it'll become clear, and we're going to be discussing it later this morning, and that matir over here means even more than that, meaning that the nedarim can be disregarded from its origination. From the moment that you articulate the neder, the chachamim basically said it's nothing. It's nothing. So, and we could put this into one of four categories, and the four categories are the following. So the way the Mishnah is going to lay out is the Mishnah is going to introduce to us the four categories, and then in terms of examples, we're going to give the example of the first category, but that's it. We're not going to go beyond the first category today, but we'll introduce all four categories today. So, an introduction. So, nidre ziruzim. So, nedarim that are made to motivate, leverage. I want to negotiate with somebody, and I'm trying to get him to move off his position. I'm going to make a nedar, but just to get him off his position. Okay, that right now sounds a little bit abstract. In just a moment, we'll give a concrete example of what exactly that means. So, again, these are nedarim that are just simply going to be disregarded. That was one. Two, nidre havai. Exaggerated nedarim. I'm trying to make a point. I'm exaggerating. It's clear that I'm speaking in hyperbole. I'm attaching a neder to my hyperbole. So such a neder can be disregarded. Three, nidre shkagos. I make a neder, but it's based on something which is not true. Something, but when I say not true, not because I'm intentionally lying, but simply because I forgot. Again, examples of this are going to be given later in this parak. We'll wait until we get there to give actual examples. And finally, nidre onsin. So you make a neder, but something happens that was circumstances beyond your control. And so you're attaching a neder to something that you thought you were going to be able to do, but you were unable to do, but for no fault of your own. In other words, circumstances that were beyond your control. Good. So these are nidre onsin. And again, I'm just going to push it forward. In terms of examples, we'll get to examples later in this parak. So in terms of the goal of this parak, it's pretty straightforward, and that is that we're going to be learning about four different categories in which you made a neder, but based on the context of the circumstances in which you made the neder, it's not a neder, and it can be totally disregarded. And so here the Mishnah star opens up with nidre ziruzin. So what are examples of a neder that's made just simply to move somebody off their position? Negotiation nedarim. Ketzad. Hayamocha chefetz. So let's say you're in a simple transaction. You're looking to sell an item. The amar, and the seller says to the buyer, koneim, sheni poches acham in asela. So he says, koneim. Now again, we at this point in time are well familiar with the word koneim. Koneim is a kinui. It is a corrupted way of saying the word carbon. And again, back on Daf Yud, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, in terms of what exactly is a kinui? It's a manufactured language, or it's just the word carbon in another language. Regardless, in other words, it's basically carbon. And basically, this item will become usher to me, like a carbon, if. Now, what's the if over here? Bochesacham in a sella. I'm not selling it to you for anything less than a sella. Okay, so let's just remind ourselves a little bit about currency back in the good old days. So back in the day, a sella is made up of 4 dinarim. I know these are currencies that we don't use. They're not current. And so therefore, whatever. You just hear the currencies enough time and you'll understand the basic value. So anyway, so a sella is 4 dinarim. It's also 2 shkalim. Okay, and a shekel is 2 dinarim. Okay, so the shekel is a half of a sella. So anyway, so the seller's position over here is that you know how much you're going to be giving me? You're going to be giving me a sella for this item, and I'm attaching a neder. In other words, you're not going to get benefit from it if you're giving me anything less than a sella. Good. And hello, Omer. Now, what does the buyer say? So the buyer says, "Konim sheni most of chala shekel." And that's so funny. I'm going to make a counter neder. So I'm going to make this item usher to you. Now, it's a little bit strange, by the way, because he's not currently the owner of that item. Okay, fine. But, all right, I'm going to make this item usher to you. If I give you anything more than a shekel. Meaning, so over here, so we are negotiating. It's really simple. In other words, the buyer wants more money. The seller wants more money. The buyer wants to spend less money. Okay, this is a standard negotiation in terms of the sale of an item. It's really simple. But what makes this interesting is that each one of them now is making a neder in terms of solidifying their own positions. Meaning, so the seller is saying no less than a sella, and if I'm going to be taking anything less than a sella, the item will be usser. And the buyer is countering with also a neder. I'm not giving you more than a shekel, half of what you want. And under those circumstances, and if I do give you more, it's going to be usher via neder. So over here now, in the context of the scenario, it's clear that each one of them is making a neder just to move the other person from off of his position. So over here, in the course of negotiation, shneim rotzim b'shlosha dinarim. So the truth of the matter is that they both want 3 dinarim. Okay, in other words, this is simply how negotiation works. I know I'm going to be paying 3. I know I'm going to be selling for 3. Okay, but in other words, there's a dance every time you make a sale. And why can't we just bypass the dance? It's just simply not how the world works. The way the world works is that I'm going to start off here, you're going to start off there, and we'll meet in the middle. So both of us knew that 3 was pretty much going to be the target price. So I got to start with 4. You're going to go to 2. You're going to start with 2, and we'll settle on 3. Okay. And the fact that each one of them made a neder, the neder over there is to be understood contextually as just as a leverage, just as a way of negotiating and getting you to move yourself off that position. And so consequently, the neder can be disregarded. Okay, adkan. That takes us to the end of the mission. We're ready to start with the Gemara, just as a thought, as something to think about. And I'm not sure if I have a great approach, but, you know, previously, and I say previously, by the way, I'm going so far back as yesterday's daf. So previously we learned that the Chachamim really did not want people speaking in the Darim, right? In other words, right, just yesterday we had a Perushin Lahakel, right, the Mishnah that describes that if you make a neder, but you give a far-fetched explanation that what I meant was the following, so then it's going to be disregarded. Now, if you remember, in yesterday's daf, we said that's true for a Talmud Chacham, but for the Amaretz, once you make a neder, so the Chachamim were really upset. And the Chachamim said, look, we just don't want you to habituate yourself and get into the practice of making nedarim. You're going to explain yourself that you didn't mean it, so forth and so on. But you remember yesterday's daf in the Mishnah? The Chachamim came along, they gave onshin, and they were really unhappy with anyone articulating a neder, even if the neder is going to be disregarded. Over here, in our perek, we're not going to hear anything like that. No distinction between a Talmud Chacham and a Am Haaretz. And I'm just curious. I'm just wondering. Meaning, we basically, everyone's making nedarim over here. My intention to make the neder was only to get you to move off your position. It's just negotiation. It's just leverage. Okay, that's fine. But when all said and done, I'm making a neder, you're making a neder. So the Chachamim are comfortable over here with people just making nedarim with the explanation that it's just Nidrei Zeruzin. It's not a big deal. I don't need a Chacham to be Matir. Okay. And so I'm just contrasting today's daf and yesterday's daf, where in yesterday's daf we saw that the Chachamim were really bothered. You made a neder, we can explain it. Okay, but I'm not interested in explanation. Again, I know in yesterday's daf we did make a distinction between a Talmud Chacham and a Ma'aretz, but still, in other words, you get that sensitivity yesterday that the Chachamim don't like it. And over here in today's daf, are the Chachamim okay with it? Okay, I'm just thinking out loud. We're going to continue. We're starting with the Gemara Mor Chaf Alef Amid Alef. The Gemara begins. Arba Nedar Mitir Chachamim Amle Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal Rabbi Ami Amar Lam Shmei De Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya Mantana Arba Nedarim. So who is the author of our Mishnah? Okay. So Rabbi Yehuda he Damar Mishum Rabbi Tarfon. So it's Rabbi Yehuda Damar Mishum Rabbi Tarfon and LaOlam Inecha Mehem Nazel Afishalon Inan Nazirus LaHafla. Okay, a position that we're going to see so many times throughout Shas. In fact, we just saw it yesterday, so good. This is what's called Chazara. Wonderful. Let's Chazar. Okay, the case of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon is the following. I have a person coming in our direction. He's got long hair. I know this is going to say, you're going to say to yourself, didn't he just say this? Yes, I did. So good. But today's a new daf, but we're going to be Chazaring as well. So the person comes down the street walking towards us, and I look at Ben. In fact, I think yesterday I also gave Ben as the example. I look at Ben. Ben looks at me. I know there are two Bens here in this room. And so I say, the guy's a hippie. And Ben's like, no, he's not a hippie. Right? He's a religious individual. He's a Nazir. And so I say, okay, listen, I'm so convinced I'm right. I'm going to be Nazir if I'm right. And Ben says, I'm convinced I'm right. I'm going to be Nazir if I'm right. One of us is going to be right. He's either a hippie or a Nazir. As I pointed out yesterday, I'm sure I made the joke yesterday. He could be both. Fine. Either way. So we're debating this issue, and basically what we're doing is that we're gambling. Okay, it's basically a form of gambling. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'shem Rabbi Tarfon, neither of us is going to be a Nazir. And I'm talking about even after he comes over and tells us which one of us is right. Still, neither of us is going to be a Nazir. Why? Go back into the Gemara. Read what I just read in the Gemara. Lefishalo nitna nazirus ala lehafla'a. Because nazirus can only be take on a status when it was done bihafla'a, with articulation. Articulation over here means that at the time where you articulated, it's at that moment in time you've accepted upon yourself nazirus. If at the time of articulation, well, I'm attaching it to something that may or may not be, we'll see. That's not nazirus, according to Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon. And by the way, just as a point of not only interest, but very practical, halacha l'maisa, so the Gemara in Sanhedrin also bringing down this halacha Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon, so he does in fact connect this with gambling, meaning can one gamble, right? It's a simple question with no simple answer. But the Gemara in the third paragraph of Sanhedrin discusses this in detail, and the Gemara over there uses this as one of the positions that says that you can't. Why? Because it's, in other words, there's no, I'm going to use the word kinyan. Over here by Nazir, it's not really a kinyan. But in other words, you're not going to become a Nazir if at the time you don't know. And it's only going to be dependent on a future event that you can't control. Okay, so this discussion over here, even though it's, you know, for us, it seems to be not halacha l'maisa, not related to halacha as we practice it. In other words, no one's going to make a neder, no one's going to be a nazir. But the Gemara Sanhedrin does in fact connect us with gambling. Anyway, so our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Tarfon. Now, why should that be? Because over here, let's see how the Gemara's thought process goes. The thought process of the Gemara is that. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon, so when I say something and make a commitment, but I yet don't know the results, so that means to say that my commitment is a non-binding commitment. So l'chora, that would be the same thing in our Mishnah as well. Meaning in our Mishnah, so again, we're negotiating, so I'm saying 4, you're saying 2, I make a neder, you're making a neder. Okay, now, my neder is 4, is on 4, right? I'm not selling it for less than 4. And your neder's on 2, I'm not buying it for anything more than 2. Okay? And what happened? We landed on 3. So what the Gemara is thinking right now is that even though I made a neder, you made a neder, but since it's going on something which is not yet occurred, meaning the negotiated price has not been yet arrived at, it's not yet been achieved, so therefore the neder will not take effect. Similar to that of the case of the two bens who are betting on whether or not he is or isn't a nazir and trying to make a commitment, of being a nazir based on the eventuality of what is going to be. Okay, that's right now how the Gemara is matching the two cases. And if you're thinking about it, hopefully what you're thinking is the two cases aren't necessarily a match. And that's exactly what Rava says. Rava amar afilu tema karabanan. No, it could very well be that our Mishnah over here, the Mishnah of the third parak, the opening Mishnah of the third parak, don't limit it to the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon. It can go like the Chachamim as well. And the Mikitani, Shnehem Ratzu, Shnehem Rotzim Kitani. You see, in the case of negotiation, so it's, you don't have to, you don't have to view it as Shnehem Ratzu. They both wanted. In other words, but rather Shnehem Rotzim, they both want. Meaning, there's a simple distinction to be made between the case of the two bens and the case of negotiation. In the case of negotiation, when I say, I swear I'm not selling it less than four, even at that moment in time, I understand that it's not necessarily going to be four. In other words, I know at that moment in time, it's going to be something less than four. I'm right now just trying to get him to move off his position. So therefore, I make a net. They're attaching I'm going to entrench myself in my position. I'm not really entrenching myself in my position. I'm just trying to get him to move himself off of the position. So when I say I'm making a neder, connecting it with four, even at that moment in time, I'm really ready to go down. In other words, it's leverage. And the same thing is true by him. In other words, he's making a neder on two, and even at that moment in time, he's not really saying it's two or bust. He's just simply saying, I want you to get move away from four. So in other words, so what Rav is pointing out is that, yes, it's true by Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of the two bens looking at the guy walking down. So each one of us is now going to be attaching our commitment to a future event. Oh, that is a current commitment, but based on something that will happen in the future, that's different than our case over here. Our case over here, even at the time of pronouncement, each one of us know that we're really not bound by it's four or nothing. It's two or nothing. Okay, so there's a really fundamental difference between our case and the case of the Nazir walking down the street. And so Rava says, you don't have to limit our Mishnah to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon. Amale Ravina le Ravashi, Amalo Tfei Misela V'Hala Amar Batzir Mishekel. So the Gemara now just wants to know what are the limits of our Mishnah? Meaning in our Mishnah, what we've seen is it's the Mishnah gives us a really straightforward case, right? The seller saying four, buyer saying two, they're going to settle on three. It's nice, and when I say it's nice, by the way, meaning it's a pretty simple dance. It's a pretty simple negotiation between two parties, and basically what we're doing is that we're splitting the difference, and the difference is not that great from one another. The Gemara now wants to know, but let's say the buyer's at five. And the seller's at one. Let me do it correctly. The seller's at five and the buyer's at one. And each one of them is making a neder. So now they're so far apart from one another. Can we say that this is a negotiation? Can we call this the dance of our Mishnah? Where it's just Nidre Zeruzin. I'm just trying to get you to move off your position. If we're close to one another and eventually we're going to settle on something in between the two of us. Okay, good. That's Nidre Zeruzin. But over here, if I'm at five and you're at one, maybe it's different. So Nidre Havai, oh, Zeruzin Havai. So am I now really making a neder? Or is this just also Zeruzin? It's just simply leverage and motivation. So Amalei Tanina. So he says, look, I know the answer based on the following Braisa. And the Braisa reads, this Braisa is coming up, sorry, I say it's a Braisa, it's really a Mishnah. It's coming up much later in the Masechta. Either way. Hayim Misari B'chaver Sheyochel Eflo, V'Amalei Konim B'Ischa Sheani Nechtas. The teapot stone named Shani Toim. So, I'm trying to get you to come over to my house, right? I'm really interested in hosting you. And you're really interested in not coming. not coming. Okay, good. And so, I'm pushing you. I'm insisting. Like, you gotta come over to my house. I'm telling you. Okay. So the, and Amar Lo, and the other one says, Kone beis chashani nechtas. You know, your house will become usher to me if I walk in. In other words, I'm not coming. And I'm making a neder to that effect. Alternatively, tipatsoni shani toim. You know, I'm not going to be having a drop by you. And again, I'm attaching a neder to the idea that if I even have a drop from you, I'm bound by neder. So mutterly kanas leves of lishto same and etzonein. And so what's the halacha? The halacha is that you can go in and you can have a cold drink of water. I say water probably doesn't mean water, but you know what I mean. In other words, shalon iskaven ze elo l'shom achila v'shtia. Okay. In other words, again, we have to look at the contextual clues. I'm telling you, it's hard, by the way. I'm expressing my own feelings. This is very hard. You're making a neder, and now we have to look at the contextual clues to see whether or not the neder is binding or not binding. I admit, it's challenging. But over here, just have to look at the contextual clues. And that is that, look, here's what you didn't want to do. You didn't want to have a big meal. I don't know, you're dieting, whatever your issues are. So you didn't want to have a big meal. So when you made the pronouncement that I'm not coming in, I'm not having a drop, nothing, it's understood that what you meant was that don't expect me to come in and have a big meal, because that's not what I'm doing. What I'll do I'll have a small drink. That I'll do, but nothing more than that. And so, but basically what we could do is we could disregard the neder. So what the Gemara now is thinking is that here we are with something that's comparable. Just like in our Mishnah. Now again, the Mishnah has a nice, easy scenario of negotiation of 2 and 4, right? The seller's saying 4, buyer says 2, and they settle on 3. Each one of them makes a neder, but again, it's just motivational. It's just negotiation. Okay, and the Gemara's question is 5 and 1, right? Seller says 5, buyer says 1. And each one of them now is attaching a neder, and is that negotiation, or is that, in other words, each one of them is basically like, we're in an impasse over here. And I don't want to hear about your one. In other words, I'm not selling it less than 5, and I'm making a neder. And that's not negotiation, meaning each one of them now is basically like entrenched in their position. And what the Gemara now is doing is bringing in the following brisa. Again, I made the same mistake. It's a Mishnah later in the Masechta. And the Mishnah is somewhat comparable, because the Mishnah is saying, hey, why don't you come over and enjoy a big meal? And the guy says, I'm having nothing by you. And I mean, makes a neder. So that's comparable to 5 and 1. And what do we learn in that Mishnah? It's not a neder. In other words, it's negotiation, it's leverage, it's just simply a way of people talking. So the Gemara says, Vahai vati patzonin kamar, ella mishayin ishachi, so hachinami mishayin ishachi. Okay, so the Gemara thinks now that's a comparable. That's how people talk, right? And when I say I'm not eating anything, it means I'm not having a big meal. But I'll have a little bit. Okay, here too, 5 and 1, negotiation. So Amrle, so Ravina says back to Ravashi. We're on the Amud Beis already. So Midami, how can you compare the two? Gabi Tzonein. So as it relates to where I said nothing. So Tzadikim Omer Mat Vosim Harbe. So look, in that case over there, I could totally see that as a dance, as just negotiation and a way of people talking. Because when a tzaddik comes and invites me into his house, right? Let's go back to, last week's Parsha. So let's go back to last week's Parsha. Right, so Avram says to the Malachim, "Why don't you just come in? You'll have just a little bit." And meanwhile, they pretty well over there, or at least according to Rashi, they pretended to eat. Either way, they did well for themselves. So when you're at Sadak and you're inviting somebody over, and you say, "Hey, why don't you just have a little bit?" It's understood. It's not a little bit, right? You're gonna be sitting down to a significant meal. He's gonna want to host you. And so therefore, over there, when you say, "I'm gonna eat nothing," you're understanding that. All this is basically like, I know you're going to want to feed me a lot. I really don't want to eat a lot. I'm going to say nothing, and we'll settle on, I'll come and I'll have a little bit. So there, it's a dance, and I get it. But over here, but hacha, sveikahu, dilma pachas misal v'yosra shaka kamar. O dilma, dafka kamar v'nidra havai, tibaye. But over here, look, 2 versus 4, and we're just simply 1 away from 3. Each one of them is 1 away from 3. That's a dance. And each one of them makes a neder. It's just leverage. It's just negotiation. But if one says 1 and the other one says 5, and they're so far apart from one another, and it's not like the tzaddik is coming and inviting me over his house. It's like, I'd like to sell it. The other one's like, I'd like to buy it. But man, oh man, we are worlds apart from one another. He wants 5. I don't want to give more than 1. You know what? I'm making a neder. I'm not negotiating. I'm making a neder. So over here, teku, or the Gemara doesn't say the word teku, the Gemara says tibaye. You know, that's the nedarim talk for teku. Meaning, you're right, I don't know. I don't know in such a scenario where they're far, so far apart from one another. And now is this negotiation, or are they serious now about not moving from their position? Gemara says it's a good question, I don't know. Let the question stand. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Asi. So we're in Chaf Aleph Amud Bey, so let's take a pause for a moment. So over here in this third parak of Nedarim, so what we introduced ourselves to are Nedarim that are not Nedarim, right? Statements that are made that sound like a Neder, articulation just sound is exactly like a Neder, but based on the context, it's not a Neder. And there are four different categories of that, and in today's daf, we're really focusing on the first category, and that is Nedarim that are really negotiations. I make a neder, but I'm just doing so to move you off your position. Okay? The basic dance of negotiation between buyer and seller. And so in our Mishnah, what we learned together is that despite the fact that you made a neder, it's not a neder. Good. Questions of, are there limits to this? Meaning that buyer and seller are so far apart from one another, and then they make a neder. Is that considered also negotiation? Good. Gemara asked a question. Gemara doesn't give an answer. But that's what we're discussing today. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Asi. So we're continuing Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and five lines down. So Arba Nedarim Halalu. So as far as the four Nedarim of our Mishnah, Tzrichim She'ela L'Chacham. So you have to go to a Chacham, and the Chacham has to be Matir. Now, if you've been listening carefully all morning, so that's not what we've been saying all morning, right? What we've been saying all morning is that the Nedarim, even though articulated as a Neder, is not to be understood as a Neder, and can be dismissed altogether. And meanwhile, so Rav Yehuda, quoting Rav Asi, says, "Nah, tzrichim she'ela chacham. You have to go to a chacham when you make such a neder, and he's going to be able to extricate you using one of the methods of extrication." So ki amrisa kamidishmol amar tani tani arba nedarim itir chachamim va'atamat tzrichim she'ela chacham. And so when he said it over to Shmuel, Shmuel said, "Boy, did you misunderstand the Mishnah? That is not what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah said hitiru chachamim." Hitiru Chachamim means from its very inception, meaning it's simply not a neder. And you're telling me that you have to now go to a Chacham and he's going to get you out of the neder? That's not what the Mishnah meant. Rav Yosef Masil al Hashmaita. When he says over what we just said over in the name of Rav Asi, so Bahai Lishna. So he said a little bit differently. And that is, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Asi, and Chacham Asher Lahatir, Ela Ke'in Arba Nedarim Halalu. So Rav Yosef gives a different understanding altogether to the statement of Rav Asi. Meaning, Shmuel's comment is correct. Shmuel's right. Rav Asi can't be talking about our Mishnah. Because in our Mishnah, in all four categories of our Mishnah, Nidrei Zeruzin and the other three categories as well, you don't need a Chacham. It's simply not a Neder. Was making a different point, and that is notably, is that when a chacham is allowed to be matir, only when it's ke'in arba nedarim halalo, meaning that the only way you could be matir it is by using a pesach. Okay, so I mentioned this yesterday. Let's do this again today. You make a neder. You can go to a chacham, and he can get you out of your neder. Now, how can he do it? Now, one of two ways. One way that is non-controversial, and the other way that is controversial. Let's go over the non-controversial. It's called Pesach. A Pesach literally means an exit, right? An entrance, an exit. In other words, a way out, right? An opening. Now, what does the Pesach do? What the Pesach does, the analogy I gave yesterday, is that the Pesach basically lifts up the hood of the neder. I know it's a funny analogy, but lifts up the hood of the neder and looks inside and sees, wait, what's wrong with the neder? In other words, the attack of a Pesach or the allowance of the Pesach has to be built into the neder itself. You made the following neder. Let me think about it some. If you knew the following about the actual neder itself, if you understood the ramifications of the neder, would you have made it? Okay. But it's not a question of regret. It's a question of there has to be something wrong with the actual neder itself. As opposed to charata. So again, we went over this yesterday, but let's go over this again. This is our, we're new to Nedarim, so it's good to go over this. As opposed to charata, what's charata? Charata, you don't have to open up the hood. You don't have to, you don't have to examine the neder itself. Just simply, do you regret making the neder? Now, over here, to be clear, when I say, do you regret making the neder? Right? If you're going to a chacham to try to extricate yourself from a neder, so by definition, aren't you regretting having made the neder? Of course you're regretting making the neder. What it means is that at the time when you made the neder, were you already in a state of regret? Right? We use this kind of language all the time. But we use this kind of language, right? I knew from the moment I said it, I knew it was wrong. I knew I shouldn't have done it. So in other words, Charata is basically saying, were you in a state of regret going all the way back to the time where you made the neder? Look at the Ran over here. The Ran writes, Ein chacham matir ala kein arba nedarim halal klomar. She'ein lo lahatir b'charata la b'pesach she'an neder k'shu'un ita b'pesach mo'chiach mitocho she'un neder taos v'ave ke'ein arba nedarim. So when extricating somebody from a neder, so you have to use a Pesach. I know I said all this already, but I'm just excited because the Ran, first of all, has clarity, and it's and we're learning a Rishon. The Rishon's talking, and the so when it comes to a Pesach is a look at the neder itself. Ava becharata lo, but not by charata. Behind the time of the ad Pesach mecharata, and why is Pesach better than charata? Lufi shekol neder shu niter be Pesach. Hare hanoder omer shafil betchila kishenader ilo hayanosin alibo oso pesach lo hayanoder v'nimtzen nidro betaus. Now, so when you're making a when you are permitting a neder using pesach, so basically you're saying, were you aware at the time had you made this particular neder that the following would occur? Oh, you weren't aware, right? Were you? And now as you show him that at the time of the neder, if you would have thought of this while you made that particular neder, so you wouldn't have done it. So in other words, so basically what we've done is that we've rendered the neder a neder betos, uprooting it from its very point of origination. Aval neder shunita becharata, but the Ran writes, but if what I'm doing is that I'm allowing it through charata, via charata, inomotze im atzmo shum inyan, shila yanosna nalibo mitchila shila yanoder. It's not that the neder, there's nothing wrong with the neder itself. The neder is fine. Elishu omer, achshav mitoch hakaos, so me here it's nidrasi, v'achshav ani mitzcharet alshan adarti me'olam. You know what was wrong? My mood. my mood was all wrong. I was in a terrible mood. I was in a foul mood. And that's why I made the neder. Neder's fine. It was me that was the issue. So good. So a Pesach is a more really uproots the neder. Charata, on the other hand, kind of just is like, right, yeah, I understand you were in a bad mood. You shouldn't have been in a bad mood, but okay, neither here nor there. Anyway, so what Rav Yosef is teaching us is that if we go back to the statement of Rav Asi, right, Rav Asi b'shem, it's really Rav Yehuda b'shem Rav Asi. Okay, anyway. But Rav Yosef tells us that what Rav Asi was saying is the following, is that the only way to properly allow somebody to extract somebody from his neder is only using Pesach, not Charata. So, and now, right, it's clear in today's daf. Meaning, so we're going to be leaving the world for just a moment of Nidre Zeruzin, and we're just going to go over now how to be Matir or Neder. How to extract somebody from a neder. And can I use Pesach? The answer, of course, is yes. Unanimously, everyone's of the position that you could use Pesach. Can I use Charata? Debatable. So Ahud Asa coming to Rav Huna, and so the Gemara now is going to go over various Amorayim who are going to allow somebody, extract somebody from a neder using Charata. Didn't we just hear Rav Yosef tell us you can't? Yeah, you're right. That's right. Rav Yosef said you can't. Other Amorayim disagree. Someone goes in front of Rav Huna and Amarlei, Libcha Alecha. When at the time you were making the neder, was your heart into it? So Amar Lelo, he says, no, my heart wasn't into it. And what I'm doing is I'm just having regrets. Meaning they're not talking about the neder itself. They're not trying to extricate him based on the logic, the built-in logic or illogic of the neder. It's just simply a question of, well, how did you feel at the time? I'm currently filled with regret and historically, I regret it at the moment I made it. So Visharya, okay, good. Rav Huna was matir the neder. I'll give you another example. Hodasu kama de rabba bar Rav Huna amarle ilu hayasar bnei adam sheifaisucha baoso shami nadart. Had there been 10 people over there and had they assuaged you, so would you have made the neder? So amarle lo. He said no. If I could have had a team of people around me, 10 people around me, all pacifying me and trying to calm me down, of course I wouldn't have made the neder. So v'itiru, and he says, okay, good, no, I'm going to be matter that neder as well. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer Omrim, Lola Adam Leivze Alecha. So was your heart into it? Imam or Lav? He says, no, Matir no so. He says, okay, you can be matir. Rabbi Shema, Rabbi Yossi Omrim, Mishema Viv Omrim, Lola Adam. The ilu haya asara bnei adam sheifaisuch ba'asar shami nadart imam lav matir noso. Okay, same basic point. In other words, was your heart into it? No, my heart wasn't into it. Okay, you could be matir. Okay, so we have a series of amarayim. Let's line them up. So we have Rav Huna, Rabba bar Rav Huna. Okay, I guess he gets it from his father. We have Tanayim, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yossi are all of the position that how can you extract somebody from a neder? Charata. Charata is all you need in order to extract somebody from a neder. Rav Yosef, now, how is he arguing with the Tanaim? I'm not sure. But Rav Yosef is of the position that no, the only way that somebody can be extracted from a neder is only using a Pesach, not Charata. And so apparently Rav Yosef would be disagreeing with all these Amoraim and Tanaim, in that you can't use Charata as a means of extracting someone from a neder. And why are we here? Meaning, it's an important discussion within the Darim, but that's not our Perek. Our Perek is talking about Nidre Zeruzim, that don't need anything. Okay, so the reason why we're here is because Rav Asi made a comment we thought was going on our Mishnah. Turns out it's not going on our Mishnah at all because our Mishnah doesn't require any She'ela. But as long as we made the comment that we quoted Rav Asi, so good. So we explained a little bit more and we noted that machlokis in terms of how to be matir somebody from a neder. Okay, we're going to pause over here. The parentheses will start tomorrow. Truth of the matter is other examples of extracting people from a neder using charata, but that will start with tomorrow. Okay, let's quickly recap. Today we started the third parak of the Masechta, in which we introduced ourselves to the idea that you made a neder. The failure in the neder has nothing to do with articulation. You said the neder correctly, right? Using right terminology. Over here, the failure was intent. My intention was not to make a neder. So there are four different categories where it's clear from the context that you weren't intending on making a neder, and therefore it is not going to be a neder. To the point where you don't need to go to a chacham, you don't need she'ela. It's simply not a neder. Four categories are nidre ziruzin, nidre havai, nidre shkagos, nidre onsin. We're going to go over the other three in more detail, but today we focused on number one, nidre ziruzin. What's that? I'm making a neder, but just simply as a means of negotiation. Leverage. I want you to move from your position. Okay, so I'm going to use strong language. Okay, and I'm going to use neder language, even though you and I both understand I don't mean it. You don't mean it, I don't mean it. It's just simply the dance that we do in terms of negotiation in order so that we can get to an agreed price. You say four, I say two. You make a neder, I make a neder. And then when they're all said and done, we're going to agree to three. We'll shake hands. We may even go out for dinner. Good. But in other words, it's just there for negotiation. Good. That's what the Mishnah taught us. So as far as the Gemara on the Amud Aleph of today, so we tried to identify who the author of our Mishnah is, meaning who subscribes to this idea that I'm making a neder, but it's going to be based on a future event, and the neder is going to be chal, then neder is not going to be chal. So it sounds a little bit like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon. Sorry, I said Rabbi Yehuda. It's no, I'm right. No, good. So yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Tarfon, right? Ain echad mehem nazir, that neither of them are going to be nazir because it's based on a future event. Okay, and the Gemara says not necessarily. No. You don't have to limit our Mishnah to that position, but rather our Mishnah can be going like the Shita of the Chachamim because there's a fundamental difference. Meaning here in negotiation, I know from the beginning when I said four, I didn't mean four, and when you said two, you didn't mean two. We mean the Darim. We understood not later. But now we understood that all we're doing is just simply negotiating with one another. I made a neder. Even while I'm making the neder, I don't mean it. And so that means to say that you don't have to limit our Mishnah to the sheet of Rabbi Huram or Rabbi Tafan. Another small discussion we had on the Amud Aleph is I certainly understand if you're starting at four and I'm starting at two, so the difference between them splitting the difference at three is not a big deal. What if you were at five and I was at one? Is that a bigger deal? and I made a neder and you made a neder. Is that negotiation? Or is that basically like you're insane and the other one's thinking the same thing? You're insane. And right, and forget about it. Good. And the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara leaves that question unresolved. On the Amud Beis, so a comment is made that if I made such a neder, I have to go to a Chacham. The comment was made by Rav Asi. And Shmuel says, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not what our Mishnah taught us. Just the opposite. These are nedarim that can be discarded altogether. You don't have to go to a Chacham. The Gemara says, you're right. What I meant was, is that, right, this is Rav Yosef's understanding of Rav Asi, is that when you make an actual neder, the only way that it can be repealed is only via Pesach Nacharata. And so in the Amud Beis of today, so we got a better understanding of the difference between Pesach and Charata. Pesach, so that is extracting somebody from a neder, looking at the actual neder itself, understanding that there was a flaw in the neder. And then, and only then, can you extract somebody from a neder. We saw the Ron together, we read the Ron together, in terms of a Pesach is really an Akira, it's an Akira Meikara, right? I'm uprooting it from the point of origination. It renders the neder as a neder tos. That's what we saw the Ron today. As opposed to Charata, Charata is basically like, I was in a really bad mood when I made the neder. And what I'm not asking you to look at the neder, I'm asking you to look at the circumstances and my mood at the time. Okay, and that's a weaker way to extract somebody from a neder. Can you do that? What did we learn today? It's a machlokas. Rav Asi is of the position that you can't do that. You can't extract somebody from a neder using charata. And then we saw a series of Amorim, Rav Huna, his son. We saw Tanayim, who are all of the position that you can't extract somebody from a neder, even just using charata. Adkar.